Hello and welcome into the Scraby Show for July 29th, 2024. Padres off day. We have a ton of things to talk about tonight. We have a ton of trade stuff to talk about tonight. And we're going to talk a little bit more about what the Padres did by trading for Jason Adam. Also, Joe Musgrove talked to the media. He might even be back as soon as next week. So we got so much going on here on the Scraby Show. Thank you for joining. And if you want to hear something funny, Tony Gwynn Jr. is probably going to be in this room here in the next 5 minutes or so. I would hope, because he left his phone in studio here and it's sitting right there. I'm looking at it. The worst thing about I did the dumb thing of like, oh, I'll just call him. Well, duh, I can't call him because his phone is sitting in front of me. So he's going to be back in here soon, I hope, because if he's not, then he's going home without his phone. So we will keep you up to date on Tony Gwynn Jr.'s phone situation, which right now is in the studio, and he is not. So I'm assuming he's going to come. Ah, there he is. There he is. I got to show everybody. He had the look of disappointment on his face. That was great. Bye, Tony. I'm glad you figured it out before you went home.
Drive without.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. All right. He couldn't even get in his car without it. That is so hilarious. All right. Cool. Now that Tony's phone is taken care of, we can move on with the show and talk about the Padres completing their best road trip of the season by far. And I even heard Tony and Jesse saying that it could be the best trip in franchise history. I personally am not going to go that far because I just don't know. But going 7-2 against teams like the Guardians in the Orioles, and you throw in the Nationals there as well, you sweep the Nationals in the middle. That's a good road trip, and this is a good team showing how good they actually are, because when they can get going like they have, you can see why this team is picked to be a playoff team. And it was over the weekend that really Friday night was another one of those nights where, you know, Jerickson Profar hits the home run off of Craig Kimbrel for his second homer of the game on Friday, and he puts the Padres ahead. It was one of those nights where I was thinking, all right, well, I better, you know, get ready for a couple or some extra innings, get ready for a 12 inning game, a 13 inning game, something like that, because there wasn't much scoring going on in the game before that. But I don't know where Jerickson Profar found this magic, but he needs to bring it for everyone because he continues to be amazing, and he continues to be amazing for the Padres in spots where they absolutely need him to be amazing. And those two home runs were proof of that on Friday night. The one off of Craig Kimbrel, dead center. I mean, if you need something to happen for the Padres this year, you would like to see Jerickson Profar at the plate. And what he's done this year has been a storyline that we're going to be talking about for a very long time, because he has not come out of nowhere, obviously, but he's done things that he's never done in his career before. This is by far and away the best year of his career, and I have at some point wondered, will he slow down? And the answer is no. It doesn't seem like he's going to slow down. Now, we still have 2 months of the season to go. We still have August and September, but at this point, is there anything that tells you that Jerickson Profar is not this guy right now? I don't think you can say that he's not this guy, because he is. He keeps doing it. And it's kind of like Kyle Higashioka. He keeps doing it too. Kyle Higashioka seemingly is, you know, you think maybe he's going to go back to where he was or just above where he was. But no, he keeps doing big things for the Padres. And I got to think that the weekend series over the Orioles just proved to them, to the team, that they can take on these playoff teams. That was one of the takeaways for me for this road trip, was they went up against the Guardians, who are very good. They went up against the Orioles, who are leading the AL East, which has teams like the Yankees and the Red Sox. Those are good teams, and they took series from them on the road, which is huge. I didn't know what to expect about this road trip. I didn't really know if they were going to be 500. I didn't know if they're going to be below 500. If you're talking to me the night after they lost to the Guardians on that Friday after the All-Star break when they lost 7-0, I would have said, uh-oh, this is going to be a losing road trip. But they caught fire, and they seem like they're having it seems like they're finally like gelling like the team that we thought they were. And Xander Bogaerts is hitting. So everything's better when you win anyway. I mean, I can't look past that because when you start winning, things become more friendly. People become happier. Things are a lot easier. And when you lose, it's not that way at all. But when you see these Padres putting up the runs that they are and having the starting pitching that they are, it makes me excited to see them in the playoffs because it's a complete team. They're playing complete games, and they're playing good defense, pitching, again, outstanding. And now they have acquired the reliever from the Rays, Jason Adam, who we'll get into in just a second. And I think that's a good move. Now, the names that were sent to the Rays, I think at the time, I was a little taken aback by it. But as we've talked about it today, I think that it was the right move. It's going to give Mike Schilt another reliable arm out of the bullpen late in the game. And there are times where you think the pitcher that they're going to throw out there, maybe De Los Santos, maybe Matsui, you think, uh-oh, this is not going to be good. But now you have a guy who's legit. And he's 32 years old, 2.49 ERA, 47 appearances this season. He has a 2.30 ERA over the past three seasons, and he worked mostly in the eighth and the ninth inning. Here's a big thing for AJ Preller. He has control through 2026, team control through 2026. And that's setting you up to be some, that's setting you up for the next few years as well. These are the trades that I think AJ is really good at. It's not these one-off trades. You know, the Josh Bell may have been a one-off trade. I can't remember who hit the grand slam. Why am I forgetting? Brandon Drury might have been a one-off trade. But AJ probably really likes to set up the future of the team as well, which is what he did with the team control through 2026. He also said to the media, Adam gets out righty and lefty hitters, so it gives us that versatility as well. And another winning piece for what's been a pretty good bullpen, especially late in the game. So if you're looking at the Padres right now, and you're thinking, all right, who's left? Because the trade deadline is less than 24 hours from right now. And it's who's left or what positions do they need to fill at this point in time? And I think the one that is, you know, jumps right out at me is starting pitching. But the starting pitching is kind of, I guess it's fluid because you have Joe Musgrove almost saying to the media that he's going to be back next week. And here's where I'll just get into the quotes now. He said, quote, the whole process of building and getting to the bullpens took a little longer than we thought. So I'm trying to make up for it on the back end and still be smart and not just rush back. Then I think it's kind of AJ's call after that. If he wants to put for three innings to start, or if he wants me to get one more and then come back at four innings, he can do that as well. So Musgrove is willing to help the team here. And if he can, and if he can get back and go four innings, then I don't see why that's a bad thing. You can have one day of a bullpen game a week, I guess. He, you know, Joe Musgrove just wants to get back on the field. For all you people to say he's just cashing in with his money and he's sitting in the lazy river out there at Saquon, it's not true. He's working to get back. And this is kind of something that he is trying to get in the ear of AJ Preller that, hey, I could be a starter, like a starter. Yes, he's already a starter, but he could be a starter pitcher, meaning he goes two, three, four innings and however many pitches he can go, and then he can give them, you know, a little boost right out of the gate of the game. This is Joe Musgrove trying to help his team, and this is Joe Musgrove thinking outside the box, and I like it. And if Joe Musgrove wants to make his way back to the team, he feels like he's ready to make his way back to the team, then I'm all for it. But does it change what AJ Preller's plans are in the trade market in the next 21 hours? No, I don't think it does at all, because AJ Preller is never going to not trade for pitching. AJ Preller has said it millions of times, and he even said it in the article I was reading that it's cliche, but you can never have enough pitching. Now, all the rumors that I'm seeing that he's out, that the Padres are in on, I'm not sure how good those rumors are, because when you look at these rumors and you see, oh, Blake Snell might be a target of the Padres. I love Snellzilla. Love what he brought to the team last year. But I personally don't think that Snellzilla is worth all of the money and the prospects that he's going to get. Mainly because Snellzilla only, we know it, he kind of only warms up like halfway through the year. And if you're going to be paid $30-plus million as a starting pitcher, which is what his option is, he has the option with the Giants, a player option. So the Giants have no choice if he decides to opt in. But I just can't see the Padres taking on that salary. However, we really... I was talking to Adam earlier before Gwynn and Chris, and I was saying, like, how would they bring in a guy who makes so much money when most of the offseason... all of the offseason was spent shedding payroll. And we came to the conclusion is we can't really answer that that question right now because we have no idea what the team's going to do in the offseason in spending. They've reset the luxury tax. I always say that wrong, so I hope I said it right this time. They reset the luxury tax, so now they're below the threshold. They could seemingly go spend again and take on that $30-plus million Snellzilla contract. I just don't know... that's what the Padres need right now. And I know this is going to be unpopular with Padres fans who want Snellzilla back, but I just don't think that it helps the team, yes. But does it help the team long term? No, because you don't know what Blake Snell's going to give you the rest of the year. He's had some good starts, obviously. But I just can't see a world where the Padres are going to trade for Blake Snell when... they already had him last year, and now he's making lots of money. And if you're going to be paying Blake Snell $30 million a year, and we're going to be paying him $30-plus million a year next season in 2025, he's got to be good from the get-go. He's got to be good from out the gate. We can't do this thing where he warms up all season. I guess you can, but it's frustrating to watch, and then all of a sudden he's a Cy Young pitcher. I know that... there's some good memories there, but I don't know that the situation makes sense for the Padres right now. I don't know that they're looking into those types of contracts to take on. It seems like kind of like what they did with Eniel De Los Santos. They moved out Scott Barlow, who was making good money, and then they brought in De Los Santos, who's making less money, and it helped big time. So I see the Padres taking on those contracts, and I for sure expect for the Padres to be making another trade here. It's probably going to come down at like 7:01 p.m. because that's how it all happens in sports radio. Is trades happen as soon as the sports talk shows are done. But I don't know that they're going to be talking about Blake Snell. I really don't. All right, let's go to the chat real quick. I'm Scraby, by the way. If you want to watch the show, you can. You can go to YouTube to search 97.3 The Fan for that. You can also go to, Twitch. You can go to my Twitter as well, at Matt Scraby. Twitch is 97.3 The Fan. Facebook is not working for some reason. I'm not sure. Everybody is saying my man in the chat because of a story that I told earlier where I met up with a listener who was very nice, who worked at a golf course and saw my name with a gift card on it, so contacted me. And I went up to them and I called them the wrong name. And so Chris and Tony told me, just start calling people my man when you don't know their name. So that was a story from earlier. If you want to hear that, go back to 5 p.m. But we got a lot of people chatting here about the trade deadline, about the Padres. We got Rod, we got Welsh Fryer all the way from Wales. We got Dan, we got Sammy Lev's new emoji. We got M. McKee. We have Greasy. We have Ira. We have, let's see who else we got in here. I'm missing some names. I know that. But if you're in the chat and I miss your name, I'm sorry. Didn't mean to do it on purpose. Johnny's there as well. But if you have any thoughts about what the Padres are going to do, chat with us or chat with me. Tell me what you think is going to happen. Do you think they're going to bring in Blake Snell? I personally don't think that. Do you think that Joe Musgrove is going to come back next week? I personally think if Joe says it, it's a great possibility. So we got a lot to talk about tonight. We also have, the White Sox. They've set some records. I want to talk about Garrett Crochet a little bit, and then the Olympics. Have they lost power in your eyes? Like, is it a must-watch thing now? Because to me, it kind of has, and I'll tell you why a little bit later on here in the Scraby Show. Thanks to everyone who is joining me. If you, again, would like to watch, just go to YouTube, search 97.3 The Fan. You'll find it. When we get back, more talk about Jason Adam, also Olympic talk, and then I have a, I guess an, it's not an announcement, it's just a little reminder about Scrabinator Game 2. So all of that is next on 97.3 The Fan. Welcome back into the Scraby Show here on 97.3 The Fan. Thank you to everybody who is joining me right now. We're going to get into the news in just a second, but, you know, I have right in front of me the newest Padres giveaways for the week of, I guess, August 12th and the 14th, and then August 19th through the 25th. So August 12th through the 14th, the Padres are going to be playing the Pirates at Petco Park, obviously. And on Monday, August 12th, the Padres are going to be giving away, the first 40,000 fans in attendance can take home a 1999 Tony Gwynn Henley jersey presented by ServPro. The giveaway celebrates the 25th anniversary of Gwynn's 3,000th career hit. Jersey is available in five sizes while supplies last. You can get there early, 90 minutes before first pitch. But here I'm putting it into, it's not going to really look good in this bag. But here you can see the kind of type across the chest. It says San Diego is like one, the older uniforms with the orange and the blue. So that's the first item being given away. Now on the, let's see here. I just want to make sure I get this right so I'm not telling people the wrong things. August 19th through the 21st is going to be a Manny Machado collectible pin presented by Canels. Here you go for that one. And on Tuesday, August 20th, the Padres are going to host the Twins at 6:40. The first 40,000 fans in attendance can take home a Manny Machado collectible pin. Pin features Manny decked in his City Connect gear and features himself blowing a bubble. This is a collectible pin, which comes in a sealed trading card-style box. You can learn more at padres.com/giveaways. Now, on my sheet, it does not tell me, looking on the back, it does not tell me anything about this Ha-Seong Kim Gold Glove bobblehead. I forget which day it is. We also have that in studio as well. And the bobblehead is him walking with a glove on, a gold glove, and then him in like a suit. So Ha-Seong Kim really styling here in this bobblehead. I've gotten most of the bobbleheads this year. Gonna have to try and get this one. Gonna have to try to get this one because apparently I'm starting a bobblehead collection. Might as well. Might as well. They've all been really cool, actually. So I'm gonna put these back here real quick, and then we're gonna go on with the rest of the show. Just saw on Twitter or X, Aaron Judge hit his 39th home run of the year. That's just crazy. Nothing else to say about that. Other than that, it is crazy. Now, if you are looking for information on Scrabinator Game 2, which is I have invited or I've gotten tickets from the company, Odyssey, to bring everybody into the Odyssey suite at the at Petco Park. So if you have not signed up yet, you need to sign up because that's the only way you're going to be qualified to win. And if you signed up last time, you don't need to sign up again. We are going to reach out to people from that list as well. But just go to 973thefansd.com, click on contest at the top, and then go to, then you'll hover over and it'll say contest on the bottom too. And you'll see two tabs that say contest. Make sure you click the second tab. You'll see Scrabinator Game 2 in there. You'll see the sign up form. And I've been told there have been a ton of signups. So if you are interested in going to the game on August 21st against the Twins, it's a 3:40 p.m. game. Just make sure you sign up because if you don't sign up on the website, you are not able to go to the game. I cannot make any exceptions. I'm sorry. I am sorry, but go to the website, 973thefansd.com. Go to the top of the page, look at contests and events, and then click contest after you hover over. It sounds more complicated with me explaining it than it really is, but make sure you do that. I know that there have been a ton of people that have signed up over the weekend, and you are going to be in the running if you go and sign up. Oh, Welsh Fryer, man. He's missing it by a week. I would love to have Welsh Fryer in the Scrabinator booth. That's a bummer. Jocelyn says the Ha-Seong Kim bobblehead is this Friday against the Rockies. So thank you for that, Jocelyn. Let's see. That's Scrabinator Game 2 info. Oh, yeah. By the way, I should say that food and drink is on your own. And please, if you're going to come to the suite, I don't mind if you drink, but just don't get crazy and don't make me kick you out. Okay? All right. Now, let's talk about Jason Adam real quick. the pitcher that the Padres acquired over the weekend from the Rays. And when immediately I saw, I have to go look for the return for the Rays, and I see that the Padres sent Dylan Lesko, second-ranked pitching prospect, outfielder Homer Bush Jr., their fourth-ranked position prospect, and catcher J.D. Gonzalez, their sixth-ranked position prospect for this. Now, the Adam has been very good, 2.49 ERA in 47 appearances, but I saw a lot of chatter, and I got a lot of questions in my DMs for me to ask Tony and Chris about it, because we've been told this whole time that Dylan Lesko is one of the top pitchers in the system, and so, you know, he's going to be worth a lot on the trade market. However, Kyle Glazer, who will be in here in studio tomorrow from 1 to 3:30, helping us with the trade deadline, did tweet out that Dylan Lesko, Padres have become a little concerned about, not little, he said very concerned about how much Lesko's command has not come back post Tommy John. So at a certain point, they were just like, all right, if we can get a high leverage bullpen arm in here, reliever, then we'll be fine with sending Dylan Lesko. They did not send Robbie Snelling. They sent Dylan Lesko, and we'll see if the Rays can fix him. And Kyle Glazer says that, choked on my own throat or my own tongue. Kyle Glazer says his stuff is fantastic, but the command is extremely poor right now. And if you listen to Tony from the last show, he was saying that the command is the last thing to come back usually after a Tommy John surgery. So I think this trade, even though it's sending more names, more minor league names than we thought to the Rays for one guy, I think it's a good move. And it's going to help the Padres down the line. It's going to help the Padres be confident when they have a lead late in the game. And if he can come in and just pitch how he's been pitching with the Rays over the last 3-4 years, then that's exactly why they got we're able to trade Homer Bush Jr. and Dylan Lesko. Why do I keep forgetting his name? I'm hoping I'm not saying the Robbie Snelling. You know, I don't want to say Robbie Snelling because that's not the right name, but I got it right, Dylan Lesko. But here's something that I was someone put in my, or actually texted me over the weekend, and it's from our Fantasy Baseball League, and it's from the commissioner of the Fantasy Baseball League, and he said they got Jason Adam for the same amount they could get Randy Arozarena, because Randy Arozarena was traded to the Mariners, and he was traded relatively cheap to the Mariners, and he's already hit a couple home runs since he's been in Seattle. He actually watched the game, the Rays game, before he left the team. He kind of wanted to give a last hurrah to the Rays, so that was interesting, but Randy Arozarena seems like a good dude. Now, why? Here's the question about why Randy Arozarena. Because the Padres are already dealing, they have an outfield already. They have enough outfielders. They have enough infielders. I don't know that trading for Randy Arozarena, I don't even know if it was on the radar. Maybe it was on the radar, but, or maybe it wasn't on the radar and they're just looking for pitching like they got. But I don't know that Randy Arozarena would have been a good fit. He is having a tough year. He's hitting 211, or at least when I looked before he left the Rays, he was hitting 211. And this would mean you just displace who? Who do you displace? Well, obviously he's going to play right field until Fernando comes back, if the Padres were to acquire Randy Arozarena. But what happens when Fernando comes back? What do you do with Randy Arozarena? Do you kind of bank on the fact that maybe Jurickson Profar is going to cash in free agency and you might not be able to afford him, and then you keep him for next year so that he can play left or right field? I don't know. But I don't think that the Padres made a mistake by not going after Randy Arozarena, because that's not what they need right now. They need starting pitching, and they got their bullpen guy in Jason Adam, which is going to, again, help them in high leverage situations at the end of games. And it's going to make Mike Schilt, you know, feel confident going into the 7th, 8th, 9th inning with a lead, knowing that his guys are going to lock it down. I mean, think about it right now. The Padres only really, Mike Schilt seems like he only really trusts two guys to pitch the last part of the game, and that would be Jeremiah Estrada and then Robert Suarez. But I don't know how much longer you can keep going with the Robert Suarez 4 or 5 out saves. He's been doing it all year, which is awesome. But at the same time, like, this doesn't seem like it's going to end well for the Padres with his arm and the contract that he has. I know that the Padres are doing the right thing by Robert Suarez by not overtiring his arm, but you got to think at the end of the year when you need Robert Suarez to be his best, he's got to be able to, you know, rest here down the stretch just a little bit, and Jason Adam is going to help him with that. Jason Adam is going to be a guy who's going to be able to close if Robert Suarez is not available. So the second closer has kind of been a guy that has rotated throughout the season. You had Jeremiah Estrada becoming a second closer in a way, but Jason Adam is a legit second closer and a legit eighth inning guy. And I'm looking forward to seeing him in a Padres uniform because it will make me feel better about everything when they go into, you know, the ninth inning with a two-run lead or eighth inning with a two-run lead. It's going to make me feel a little bit better because sometimes I get a little nervous. I get a little nervous. Jocelyn says, whoa, whoa, whoa. When is the second Scrabinator night? It is August 21st. So, again, you need to go and sign up on the website, 973thefansd.com. All right. Let's talk about the Olympics on the other side because I feel like the Olympics are just, they're not the same. And I kind of have a reason for it, but I don't really know. I want to get your opinions out there. Like, right now I'm watching a horse jumping. I know it's called something else, equestrian. But I've never watched horse jumping. I'm just going to call it horse jumping. I've never watched horse jumping before. But I'm watching horse jumping right now, and I'm really into it. And it's only once every 4 years for the Summer Olympics and obviously the Winter Olympics that you get into these crazy sports like gymnastics and like breakdancing, skateboarding. I guess skateboarding's not a crazy one, but you get what I'm trying to say is that you watch these things during the Olympics, but I don't feel the draw that I used to. I don't really understand or I don't really know why as I get older I'm not as into the Olympics. So we're going to discuss that on the other side. Any other sort of Padres topics? Actually, there's some audio I want to play for you as well. So when we get back, more Padres and Olympics talk on 97.3 The Fan. I can't believe it, but it's already the final segment here on the Scraby Show. It's been a very fun day on 97.3 The Fan. Thank you to everybody who always supports us on the chat, on YouTube, and everywhere in between. We wouldn't be anything without you all, and I really do appreciate you for being someone who I just clicked a thing onto the screen while I'm talking about that, and everybody probably saw it. Anyway, I appreciate everybody for always being so lively here in the chat. It really does give me some energy, I have to say. Some days I'm like, uh-oh, what am I going to do for the next hour? But the chat's always got my back. Always got my back. I wanted to start with, this is Scraby here, by the way, on the Scraby Show, 97.3 The Fan. I want to start with a chat that was sent to me by Dwayne. He said, Scraby, I understand the need for a bullpen arm and prospects are prospects, but do you think AJ keeps trading away our farm system? It's a question that I've definitely seen asked on social media and a question that I've been asked myself by people out there, and a question that maybe even I have thought about before. But my answer to this is no. Right now, I know that people don't really think that AJ Preller is, some people don't, are not happy with the job AJ Preller has done as the general manager of the Padres. I don't know if they miss the playoffs. I think that his time may come to an end here in San Diego, but we talked about this last week, I think, or the week before, and we were talking about the grass being greener on the other side, and the grass isn't always greener on the other side, and AJ Preller, one thing you could say about him, love him or hate him, he's not afraid to make a move, and I think that's pretty valuable. I mean, there are GMs across the league that just don't make moves. There are GMs that just, you know, stay status quo. That's not what AJ Preller wants to do, and so I would maybe caution people to be excited about the possibility that AJ Preller would not be the Padres general manager after this year. Because on the other side, what happens if AJ Preller is let go by the team? What happens? Yes, they're going to bring in a new. They're going to bring in a new general manager, obviously. But what is that general manager going to do? Are we all ready for like a rebuild? Sounds crazy to say, but are we ready for that as fans? I don't think so. And I'm not saying that AJ should keep his job just because he's been there. I'm saying AJ, if they bring in another GM, there's a strong possibility that GM is going to change the core of this team. Now, he's going to have some trouble with moving some of those contracts. You know, Xander Bogaerts, things like that. Yu Darvish, maybe. But I would really think that the Padres, I would really think that it would be a step back for this organization if they were to start over. Now, there's a couple GMs out there, and Tony and I were talking about this in the break, and he said the Phillies GM, Dave Dombrowski, he's a guy who can tear it down and rebuild it just as fast as he tears it down. We're in the window right now. We're in the window, and I don't believe that it's the right move to start over at this point. And not that they're going to start over. Obviously, you build around the team that you have. But there are going to be certain guys that that new GM doesn't want. There are going to be certain guys that that new GM... There's going to be certain ways that the team has been built that the GM doesn't agree with, possibly. And I just don't know I'm ready for that. And again, it's a tough thing because AJ is... He can't keep his job just because he is there. But I still don't really know that he's done a terrible enough job to be let go after this year. I really don't. And the reason is we've had fun things to talk about in the last 5 years, and that's mainly because AJ Preller has brought a lot of big-name players to town. And I know they missed the playoffs last year, but and there were some criticisms of AJ last year, like he didn't make the bench as strong as the bench usually or the bench needed to be last year. There were some, you know, at the trade deadline, there weren't big moves made, which was kind of expected. So maybe there was a little bit of AJ's fingerprints on last year's collapse. Not collapse, but last year's missing the playoffs. This year, I feel like he's done everything that he can to make this a winning team. And he's made the trades so far this year, and he's made the signings so far this year that has put the team to where they're at today. It's easy to forget that he did trade for Dylan Cease before the year. It's easy to forget that he did acquire Luis Arraez early in the year, and the Marlins paid for a lot of his salary. It's easy to forget all those things. And I just don't know that now is the right time to change the direction of where everybody's going. Kelly says, AJ isn't to blame when the players don't produce. I agree, but that's not what I hear on my DMs. Dan says, an AJ I trust. Rod, AJ equals da man. I appreciate you spelling it D-A. Richard says, AJ rebuilds the farm as well. He does rebuild the farm, and then he gets rid of him, which is fine, because that's what prospects are prospects. I don't think, because I've heard this theory, and it's a conspiracy theory, that AJ Preller is just setting all the prospects, trading all the prospects because he doesn't think he's going to be here next year, so it's his final stand. I don't believe that at all. Juan says, for a season where you are handcuffed to a limited budget, he has done amazing. Good point, Juan. Very, very good point, because keep in mind, they cut like almost $100 million off of this payroll. I almost swore because it's that big of a number. And he's done a really, really good job bringing in the Donovan Solanos, the David Peraltas, and then some of the other guys throughout the year that have done spot things. I think he's done a good job. I didn't mean to go on an AJ Preller rant right there, but it just happened because, you know, Dwayne had a question on the chat, but I've been thinking that for a long time. I know other Padres fans think that way, but there are the Padres fans out there that want nothing to do with AJ Preller, and hey, that is your opinion. I'm not going to stand in your way. Now to the Olympics. Let me get my Olympic music. Oh, man, I went the wrong way. Okay, here it is. One more thing from Kelly. People are just looking to point the fingers at AJ. He's brought the excitement back to San Diego with the players and the atmosphere at the ballpark. Sad Friar. It's win now with all our contracts. These next 3 years are it. After 2027, it's downhill for Manny and Xander. I don't know about downhill, Sad Friar, but it's definitely they're getting older. I won't disagree about that. If there's one contract that I question, it's probably the Xander Bogaerts contract, just purely because there was no real spot for him to play. There was no easy path for him on the field. Anyway, all right, here we go. Have the Olympics... I found out the right word to describe this in the break. Have the Olympics lost their luster? With you, with me, with everyone. And obviously, I'm going to give you my opinion. And the answer is yes. And it's not because they're not important. And it's not because they're not like a grand event. It's one of the biggest events in the world every 4 years. And I feel like the reason the Olympics aren't that, they've lost some of that feel to them, mainly because you could watch every single sport in the Olympics if you want to. Like right now, we have DirecTV in studio. I'm looking at a Paris Olympics TV experience with four different screens showing showing skateboarding, showing, I don't even know what that is. They're on some court of some sort. I'm not sure. They had surfing on earlier. We were watching kayaking, equestrian stuff. But I feel like it's because there's no real, like, I missed the time, the appointment viewing. There we go. That were. I missed the appointment viewing. I remember as a kid with my parents, we would all get in front of the TV and, you know, at 8 p.m. or 7 p.m. or 6 p.m., whatever it was, we would sit down and we would all just sit around the TV and watch the Olympics and cheer for our country and all this stuff. And this is when I was little, but I felt like that was important. And maybe it's because I was a kid and everything's different when you're a kid. I firmly believe that everything is way cooler when you're a kid. Even when you get old, it's not as cool. But I think the Olympics just, like, the coverage of it is just so much that you can consume the Olympics whenever you want. And I felt like the Olympics back in the day was a big deal because you really had to wait to find the results. You had to wait to see what happened because they just didn't have all of these extra channels broadcasting literally every sport. Like, I can't even imagine the undertaking for NBC. Like, trying to broadcast every sport. I cannot even imagine how stressful that is. Prolific says the Olympics are now run by... I don't know. McKee says Summer Olympics, my favorite. I like the Summer Olympics. I also like the Winter Olympics. I like the Olympics, but it's just not what I want it to be anymore. I want it to be more important. Junior says, don't they have breakdancing now? If it is, that's my new favorite. They do, and it's called breaking. It's called breaking now. Katrina agrees with me. Dan says Phelps was fun to watch. I miss the old way of watching things. Obviously, most of the time I don't. But sporting events, I miss the community of sporting events, and I miss being able to appointment watch the Olympics, the World Cup, anything like that. Now, look at Chris. He does everything DVR'd. It's crazy. Welsh Friar says they need baseball back at the Olympics. I believe it's coming back next Olympics when it's in L.A., which will be kind of cool. I'm definitely going to be checking out the Olympics in 2028 if I can, if I'm still here. But, yeah. Ed McKee says, but now you get to see so much more with all the coverage. there's some really good chats coming in right now. But now you get to see the more coverage. I get it, more coverage. But that doesn't mean I'm sitting... That doesn't mean I'm getting that community feeling that I'm looking for. They have actually a... on Peacock, they have like a red zone type of thing. But it's called like gold zone or something. And I was watching that earlier. Definitely not as good as what Scott Hansen can pull off. Trust me. Let's see. Melvin says, we just need new events. Like, who can give the best daily gripes and such? That would be great. And I would love to be a judge for the best daily gripes. Junior also says, Scraby, Boomer Ello is rubbing off on you. I don't know about that. Boomerello. Ooh, another pitcher off the board. Let's see. I think Frankie Montas went somewhere. Let's see before we go and get out of here. Just want to make sure I have it. Brewers to acquire Frankie Montas. Yes, that is going to happen according to reports from Mark Feinsand. So one of those deals that we could break down. But another starting pitcher off the board. And starting pitching is becoming a little shallow. I'm curious to see if anything happens here at 7:01 or even tomorrow morning or even before the deadline. But that's what we're going to be here for all day tomorrow. And we're going to be with Kyle Glazer from 1 to 3:30. And so he's going to be with Annie and Elston from 1 to 2, and he's going to be with us from 2 to 3:30. But there's going to be a lot of interest tomorrow from all Padres fans, because I'm looking to see them bring in someone, not big, but, you know, Jason Adam was the perfect guy to bring in because he wasn't the biggest name in the world, but he can just do his job. Now, did he cost too much? He probably cost a little too much, but that shows you how many other teams were out there trying to acquire Jason Adam. The Padres had to put down a big old trade package for him to come back home, or not back home, duh. For the Padres to acquire him from Tampa. All right, let's get into... Man, this show goes so fast sometimes. I get going and I can't stop talking, and then all of a sudden it's over. It's over, and I don't have my little thing ready to go, so let me do this. And 1, 2, 3.
What's annoying Scraby today? Let's find out. It's time for the Daily Gripe.
By the way, I didn't get time to play it, but there's lots of great audio on the fan Twitter page at 97.3TheFanSD from Xander Bogaerts talking about different things. He basically, I wanted to pass this along. He says they're a good team because of the comebacks that they made on that road trip. And I don't disagree. I thought about that. Comebacks are telling, and comebacks against good teams are very telling. So things are headed in the right direction. My daily gripe was actually going to be what I said earlier about calling a listener the wrong name, but I have to come up with a new daily gripe, and I have to come up with, this is, sorry mom, I'm throwing you under the bus. I cannot stand it sometimes, gotta add those nice words, when my mom does this. She'll be like, hey, I need help with something. And I'll be like, cool. Can we do it in a couple days? Or can we do it later today? Or something like that. Like, carry, you know, building something. Or, I don't know. Something. You know what I'm talking about. And she says, yeah, that's cool. It's all good. Then I come back later and say, hey, let's get that thing done. And she says, oh, no, I've already done it. I did it earlier. It drives me nuts. Here's my daily gripe. It drives me absolutely nuts when my mom tells me that she needs my help later or in another day, and then, for some reason, immediately goes and does it and then is like, well, you didn't want to help me. Maybe she doesn't say that. That's me lying to make myself look better. But I cannot stand it. So, Mom, if you're listening, please, I've told you this a million times. If you ask me to do something, I will do it. Don't do it before me. It's infuriating. And then I feel bad, and then you're mad at me. It's all about that stuff. So bad. Ugh. Get the shivs before I have to handle that again. Anyway, I'm just... Junior says, maybe it's your mom's gripe when her son doesn't do something when she asks the first time. Okay, that's pretty true. All right, I'm just talking at this point, rambling, flapping my gums. Thank you so much for joining us, everyone, tonight and on the station. Bennewood's back tomorrow at 6 a.m., big trade day here to cover everything. And we'll be with you at 2 p.m. Annie Nelson, 10 a.m. Have a great night, everybody. Enjoy the last 24 hours of the trade deadline.